I'm Brandi Cruz. Coming up today on Undivided, teachers' unions are spending big bucks trying to defeat initiatives that would protect girls' sports and parental rights. Plus, Republicans are trying to lean into ballot harvesting as Democrats show that they can surge in late ballot counting. And King County's failed homelessness authority will live to see another day. That and much more coming up today on Undivided. Remember, you can support our show for just $5 a month by signing up at UndividedPod.com. That's UndividedPod.com. Click on the banner that says support the show. Hello and welcome to Undivided. Thank you for being here. Thank you so much for your commitment to giving common sense a comeback. I'm Brandi Cruz. If you are a teacher in the state of Washington and you are paying dues to the teachers union, whether that is the Washington Education Association or the National Education Association, and you are a sane human being, I have to wonder, I might take your sane card away from you. There is no reason that any sane teacher should be paying dues to a union that will weaponize that money against you, against your family, against your political beliefs, and against common sense. So we, of course, are in the middle of these battles over whether we should do the very same thing of protecting girls from having to compete against biological boys, and whether parents have a right to know what's happening with their kids at school. Both of those initiatives from Let's Go Washington will be on the ballot in November. And this is probably not a surprise, but again, I think it's important to wake up teachers who are just passively paying union dues to know how that money is being utilized. So No Hate in Washington State is the radical leftist organization that has popped up to oppose the Let's Go Washington initiatives. In cash contributions, they have received about $700,000 to oppose both of those initiatives. And you know, there's a lot of time. I mean, I think it would be very unlikely that they don't raise more than $1 million from contributors. Well, who do you think some of the top contributors to the No Hate in Washington State campaign are? Well, there's three of them. The ACLU of Washington, which has just become a shell organization for the Democratic Party, the ACLU has contributed more than $100,000. When you really think, American Civil Liberties Union, what about the civil liberties of women and girls? What about the civil liberties of parents? No, they don't care. $100,000. The National Education Association, $250,000. The National Education Association has contributed to keep boys and girls sports and to keep secrets from parents. And the Washington Education Association, around $122,000 in dues used to keep boys and girls sports and to make sure that when parents drop their kids off at a public school in Washington State, that school will keep secrets from parents. They can trans your kids. They can call your kids by a different name, by a different gender. Your kid can be dealing with severe mental health issues, suicidal ideation, talking to, you know, counselors about how to get an abortion, whatever it is, and none of that information comes back to you. So the unions in and of themselves, nearly $500,000 from the teachers' unions to, and again, 80-20 issues. They're on the wrong side of an 80-20 issue to keep boys and girls sports and to obstruct parental rights. And not only is a big chunk of that money, of course, coming from the dues that everyday teachers across the state of Washington pay into the coffers of the WEA, the WEA also gets some really fat government contracts. So even if you're not a teacher, your taxpayer money, they're probably using it. You know, there's no like line item stuff. That money comes into the coffers, whether it's from taxpayers or from dues paying members. And then it goes out the door to fund things like this, not to mention that the WEA, the NEA, the ACLU of Washington are major contributors to the Democratic Party and to the very politicians who are putting these policies in place in the first place. So for taxpayers, I guess we just have to keep fighting against the padding of the pockets of the unions with our money. But for teachers, for the love of God, and you know who I'm talking to, I might even be talking to you. There are thousands of teachers in this state, and I have to imagine many of them do not want their money used in this way. So there's just no excuse to not have opted out of the union by this point. You're not going to lose anything from it. You're not going to lose anything from it. The contracts that they negotiate, you're still going to get the benefit of that. And in fact, I'll say it a million times, optouttoday.com. Optouttoday.com. You can click on your state. You can choose the union that you're a member of. And not only can you figure out how to opt out, but they will also provide you the resources you need for any of the other benefits that you might lose by opting out of the union. They can even help you with legal fees. You know, if you got some sort of complaint against you as a teacher, that's the most common retort I hear from teachers who say, well, I don't want to leave the union because then if, you know, I'm in trouble and going through issues, you know, complaints from students or something, the union has my back. Well, at optouttoday.com, and we have no affiliation with them, I just think it's a very useful resource and tool, they can help you with it. They'll provide legal services, they'll provide insurance that's part of being a member of the union. And they'll help you every step of the way to do it. Stop allowing your hard-earned money to be weaponized against you and your family and your neighbors and Washington families and women and girls. Absolutely outrageous. Speaking of the extremist hate group, No Hate in Washington's Day, it is so, I mean, they're very good at this. Let's be frank. The left is very good at lying, twisting the truth. And look, I don't think either party has the market cornered on lying. That's a good thing that politicians across this political spectrum are pretty good at. But in Washington state, the Democratic Party and its allies are aided by the media in this effort. We gave a great example of this earlier on in the week where KUOW published this story saying, oh, if you pass the initiative to protect girls' sports, girls might have to get genital exams. Which, of course, is utterly outrageous. But the media just parrots whatever No Hate in Washington State the Democrats want them to say. They just parrot it without really any criticality whatsoever. And so No Hate in Washington State, they're very good at trying to put names out there of people and stories out there that will make it seem like an extremist agenda to keep boys out of girls' sports. Here's an example. So they put out this, poor Nicole. We put Nicole's name on this list for No Hate in Washington State. Because, like, I think we were trying to get into an event where they were going to train people last year to go out and harass signature gatherers. And so now Nicole's on all these No Hate in Washington State lists. But it's actually proven quite useful because we get a lot of information from them. So they sent out this fundraising email. It says, hi, Nicole. My name is Shannon McCann. I'm a middle school special education teacher and a proud WEA union member. As this school year comes to an end, I join thousands of educators in applauding the accomplishments of our students from pre-K to college. She goes on to say, every student deserves a safe, supportive, and well-resourced public school where they can learn, grow, and succeed. As a public school educator, it is both my purpose and my responsibility to provide the best learning opportunities for every child in our classroom and community. And then she goes on to say, instead of addressing real challenges, these ballot measures make things worse for our students, families, educators, and schools. And they go on. She goes on to knock the initiatives further, saying they would create confusion, bureaucracy, costly burdens. Worst of all, they add stress and harm to students and families who are already navigating more than their fair share in today's climate. Our public schools should be focused on supporting all students, not navigating the expensive fallout from harmful political initiatives. And she says, chip in. What it doesn't say about Shannon McCann, it just presents her really in this email as a run-of-the-mill educator teaching special needs students, and we just want to focus on this important work. We just want everyone treated equally, and we want to focus on the important and difficult task of educating the future generation of America. So it makes her seem, and I'm sure that the media, you know, will probably find people like Shannon McCann to do interviews with. Remember when No Hate in Washington State rolled out that Seattle police detective? And she was like, oh, if you protect girls' sports, all of a sudden we're going to have a bunch of abuse going on because coaches are going to force girls to drop their pants or whatever it is. And then it turns out that they cherry-picked this just radical Seattle police detective who already believes in this radical LGBTQ plus agenda. Well, that's exactly what they did here. So here's a little bit of information if anyone cares to actually know who Shannon McCann is and what she's all about. For instance, here is her website when she ran for the National Education Association Executive Committee. Not only is she just a WEA member, oh, I'm just a teacher, part of the union. No, she is a very, very involved member of both the Washington Education Association, her local teachers union, and the National Education Association. And when it comes to her experience, she's all about the LGBTQ+. In fact, it says proud, so it says proud union educator on her experience page, and it's got a trans pride flag on it. So this is like a, she's, in fact, if you're reading through her, I guess, qualifications, I don't know how some of this is qualifications. Led Justice for Black Lives Alignment as the chair of the NEA Legislative Committee. NEA Safe, Just, and Equitable Policy Statement Task Force member. NEA Racial Justice and Education Internal Language Stakeholder. NEA Sexual Orientation and Gender Identity Committee member. Co-president of the WEA LGBTQ+ Caucus and Seattle Pride Parade lead. I mean, how many task forces, individual things are there that involve who people want to have sex with or how they identify? And she's trying to act like, oh, we don't need to focus on distractions. We have to focus on educating our kids. All she's focused on are highly charged ideological issues and LGBTQ plus 2IA questioning stuff. That's all she's focused on. Here is a news article. Was this a news article, Nicole, or was it a WEA post? WEA post. Federal Way educator honored for diversity and inclusion advocacy. And by the way, she is the Federal Way Education Association president. So she is steeped in every aspect of the union, from the local level to the state level to the national level. It says, congratulations to Federal Way EA President Shannon McCann, who was recently awarded the Carol Watchler Award at the LGBTQ caucus meeting at the NEA Representative Assembly in Minneapolis. This is an award given to individuals who fight to end injustice and prejudice based on sexual orientation or gender identity. Goes on to brag, McCann's activism and commitment to justice extends beyond the LGBTQ community. She can often be found talking to educators, elected officials, and others in the labor community about the importance of civil rights for all people, regardless of race, religion, or immigrant status. So yeah, this isn't a run-of-the-mill teacher. This is an activist first, teacher second. Activist first, teacher second. And look, do I believe in civil rights for all people, regardless of race, religion, or immigrant status? Yes, although the immigrant status thing is interesting, because are they illegal? I believe they have human rights, but are they bound by some of the same rights that Americans are bound by? Not necessarily. Do I believe that individuals, we should fight to end injustice and prejudice based on sexual orientation or gender identity? Yeah, I do. I believe that everyone should be treated like a human being and should be given equal protection under the law. Equal rights, not special protections under the law, or special rights, which is what the trans community is asking for right now, and which is what this initiative seeks to end, is special rights and special protections under the law for transgender individuals. So you always have to, whenever, and I would say this goes for both sides, whenever you have an individual speaking out in favor of or opposed to a candidate or a ballot initiative, and they're being propped up by a political party or by a political action committee, dig a little deeper on them. Dig a little deeper and see if they're really just, oh, I'm just a middle school special education teacher. You're that, but first and foremost, you're an LGBTQ plus activist who has every reason in the world to want to continue to force girls to compete against biological boys and be able to trans kids behind their parents' backs. Absolutely outrageous. Since I brought this up, the continued lie that, oh, if you protect girls' sports, it means every girl is going to have to be subjected to a genital exam. And it's going to totally overhaul the way routine physical exams work for student athletes in the state of Washington. As we've said, that's just not true. Even if KUOW wants to write a very scary headline suggesting that it is true, they're just an arm of the Democratic Party. We had a wonderful, can we say who it was? I don't know. So I'm not going to, in case, because I don't know if they wanted to be anonymous. But we had a viewer who wanted to crunch the stats on this and did a really good deep dive into what school districts in the state of Washington are already requiring for physical exams for student athletes. Because remember, what KUOW and No Hate in Washington State say, and the lie that they're pushing, is that, oh, as part of these required physicals, they don't dive into what the child's sex is. They don't dive into what the child's gender is, and now you're going to make them what? Make them pull down their pants and prove it. Well, what this viewer found, they did an analysis of the top school districts in the state of Washington, and then they arranged them by the number of students who go there and also whether they have a part on the current physical exam they use that requires the doctor to check what the child's sex is, not gender, what the child's sex is, male or female. And so what they found is, yeah, that a lot of the top school districts in the state of Washington absolutely already have a field for sex or sex assigned at birth in their existing physical forms. That includes, as you know, the Seattle Public School District, which is the largest school district in the state, serves 50,000 plus kids. They already, on the existing form, the doctor already has to have either check the sex or the sex assigned at birth. Same in the Spokane Public School District, Tacoma Public School District, Kent Public School District, North Shore, Federal Way, Vancouver, Evergreen, Edmonds, Everett, Bellevue, Issaquah. Almost every single one of the largest school districts in the state of Washington already require a doctor to say this is their sex. So you don't have to do anything. A doctor knows what their sex is. This isn't, as much as the left would like us to believe, that a trans child is a boy who identifies as a girl is totally indistinguishable from a girl. As I've said before, you could line up 100 people in front of me and I could tell you what their biological gender is with 100% certitude. And so you better believe that a doctor can already do that. And that your child's physician knows what their sex is. I don't know how many times I have to say this, but just as an example of this, so currently the WIAA's has a suggested form. So that's the Washington Interscholastic Activities Association. They have a suggested form on their website that can be used as a model for these school districts for the physical forms for student athletes. And remember, this is already required by the WIAA. Every other year, student athletes have to have a physical. So this is the form that school districts can use as a guide, basically. Now, interestingly, the WIAA form has no questions or check boxes for biological sex or sex assigned at birth. And there's nothing on here at all about like male, female, what do you even identify as? Nothing at all. Which is interesting, and I have to believe that that wasn't always the case. But even though the WIAA suggested form doesn't even have that field, as I mentioned, most school districts do. The examples that I gave up above, the Vancouver School District, they have literally a question, sex assigned at birth, male, female, or even intersex. So they have an option for that very rare genetic issue. Everett Public Schools, these aren't conservative areas. Everett Public Schools has a thing for sex. Kent School District, sex assigned at birth. Same with Spokane. Same with Edmonds. Same with Bellevue. All a doctor has to do is tell the truth. That's really all this boils down to. The whole initiative, all it boils down to is a doctor who is definitely qualified to check a box that says whether a student athlete is a male or a female. They're already doing it. So really, the initiative is just solidifying and making consistent across the board what these physical exams have to entail. Just stupid we even have to talk about it. All right, coming up next, ballot harvesting, a big subject of conversation right now after Nithya Raman down in L.A. blasted past poor Spencer Pratt in late ballot counting. And Republican parties in places like California and here in Washington State are trying to lean into ballot harvesting, even though their base has traditionally been against it. We'll discuss. First, a whole bunch of you have taken the First Mark Challenge. FirstMarkInsurance.com, FirstMarkInsurance.com. Why? Well, probably because I recommended it, but then you hear all the wonderful First Mark victory stories that we tell of people who are saving hundreds of dollars a year, hundreds of dollars a month, thousands of dollars a year just by taking the First Mark Challenge. There's a reason why I use First Mark for my personal insurance, for my business insurance, and it's just because the customer service is exceptional. And if I have to do virtually nothing but could save thousands of dollars a year, why would I not do that? So go to firstmarkinsurance.com. You'll have to just set aside a little bit of time. It's all it costs you is a little time to talk to Firstmark about your current insurance, go over your insurance needs. They go out, they shop their market of carriers, and they come back with their recommendations. And one of my favorite things about Firstmark is just the consistency with which they're checking in. You know, every 6 months or every year, it's like, hey, you know, you're coming up for a renewal on these things. Has anything changed in your life? And they proactively go out and try to save us money again. They saved us $2,000 this year, and we didn't lift a finger. So firstmarkinsurance.com, firstmarkinsurance.com. The very best part is they work for you, not the insurance companies. So they always have your best interest in mind. All right. So Spencer Pratt is not, as you know, going to be making it to the runoff in the race for LA mayor. And that is because despite having a solid second place finish the day after the election, Nithya Raman, the Los Angeles City Councilwoman who was in third, just blasted past him, was getting like 40 to almost 50% of totals in ballot counts in like the third, fourth, fifth, and sixth days. I mean, she was even getting more in those late ballot counts than Karen Bass, the incumbent, was getting. And so there's a lot of hand-wringing happening in LA and elsewhere. President Donald Trump is suggesting very firmly that this is some sort of election fraud issue. He said not possible for Spencer Pratt to have lost the LA runoffs after the big lead he had. It's a third world nation, rigged elections, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Now, I like to think I'm a reasonable person. I don't automatically default to stolen elections. I do need to see a little bit of proof. There is a reality, and I don't know the exact number, but I think about of how voters are registered in LA. I think they only have like 18% registered Republicans. So Spencer Pratt winning would have been absolutely unbelievable. I mean, you know, that would have been a huge thing for a Republican, even though it's a nonpartisan on the ticket. People knew he was registered as a Republican. So look, it's a blue, very, very blue city in a very, very blue state. So I'm not saying it's like only fraud can be the explanation for why Spencer Pratt did not win or did not advance to the runoff. However, that doesn't mean that it's not shady as hell and raises some serious questions, even for Karen Bass's campaign. They should even be wondering how the hell Nithya Raman was able to, it went from like, ooh, and then a big spike on the third day and then down, and she was outperforming even Karen Bass. So I think any reasonable people, Republican and Democrats, should really question what's happening. Now, ballot harvesting is absolutely going to be and has to be part of this conversation. So on Sundays with Subscribers this week, we're going to be joined by Matt Brown, who's the political director for the Washington State Republican Party. And in the last few years, especially since 2020, they've been trying to lean into ballot harvesting. And that's basically going out, seeing, you know, you've got information on voters. Here's a low propensity voter. They haven't turned their ballot in yet. Let's literally go to their house and ask them if they'd like to fill it out and we can turn it in for them. Democrats have been doing this for years. Democrats are very, very good at it. I have to imagine Nithya Raman's team was very, very adept at it. Shama Sawant in Seattle, very, very good at it. So I asked Matt Brown to come on the show. Again, we're going to have him on Sunday for an in-depth interview, but we wanted to play a clip of it for you today, given what's happening in LA. And we talked a little bit about, you know, some of the controversy around ballot harvesting, getting homeless people to vote, et cetera, and what that can mean for campaigns. What do you think primarily is the reason Democrats out-ballot harvest Republicans?
I think their voters are more used to getting ballots harvested by their team, right? So they, you know, when I've been very successful at actually harvesting ballots from Democrats voting for conservatives, and it's been because they're used to it. Whereas Republicans are more guarded. When I'm talking to those type of voters, they don't, no, I don't trust anybody, and yet they still don't turn their ballot in. That's one measure, I think. But I also think the machine that they've built behind the scenes that they don't want to talk about. They'll be the first ones to tell you that ballot harvesting is bad and should be illegal and all of these type of things, yet they're doing it. And they do it with like nonprofits. They'll have a few years ago in 24, they dropped in, I don't know, maybe five or six different nonprofits into the 14th that were doing ballot harvesting for candidates as a, you know, specific Latino outreach or whatever they want to throw behind that. And so their machine is a lot bigger than ours. We just have a a Republican Party right now that is trying to get that done.
Yeah, so is ballot harvesting, do you think, is that something that could explain, for instance, late surges for a candidate like Shama Sawant, or for that matter, Nithya Raman down in LA? Do you think that's a result of a very robust ballot harvesting machine?
Yes. So when the first council person that you were talking about in Seattle,
Shama, yeah.
when she had her race, I was actually in Seattle during that campaign, just actually down in downtown Seattle, walking around, and they were actually doing printing people's ballots in the streets as they were walking up and down the street doing this type of work. And it was interesting to watch because at the time I was not politically like watching these things. I just saw it and thought, wow, that's weird. Never seen that before. And then I saw that election go from she's losing, she's losing, she's losing to at the 11th hour, she won,
Double
right?
digit, a double digit swing.
Yeah. And it was the only thing I actually told the chairman at the time of the party. I said, dude, I think it was because they were printing ballots and those things get counted last, right? They're the slowest to actually get counted.
Yeah.
And so it flipped at the last moment. So yeah, no, there's I think ballot harvesting and especially in elections that are, gonna be close, you can figure out if you're looking for like a 10,000 vote margin, you can find that 10,000 vote margin in low propensity voters and be able to move that with the right army.
Well, you mentioned low propensity, so but you have to actually be a registered voter before Election Day for a ballot to be harvested from you, correct? Like, for instance, let me give an example of what I mean. You couldn't go find a homeless person on the street who's not registered to vote after Election Day, register them, and then harvest a ballot.
Correct. Yeah,
Okay.
you now there is same day registration, right?
Right, but it
So,
has to be before or on Election Day.
correct.
Yeah.
Yeah, not after election.
Gotcha. So there, in theory, it would be legal in the state of Washington for them to, on election day, go to down to 77 South Washington Street outside the Mission and just register, print ballots, send them in.
Absolutely.
So why don't you guys do it?
Well, we do have some ethics, right, as Republicans. I will tell you, my libertarian friends,
Yeah.
which I know you've been talking about a little bit on your show
Yeah.
in the past, they're actually the ones that have pushed me the hardest in Yakima to do ballot harvesting, right? They said, and they're actually some of the hardest workers in ballot harvesting. So I got to give them some props because they've been, we've been partnering together to try to do this work in Washington State and learn and figure out what it does.
Yeah, that's Matt Brown. He is the political director for the Washington State Republican Party. He's going to be joining me for an in-depth conversation about ballot harvesting and some of the other concerns around election integrity coming up this week on Sundays with Subscribers. And I actually learned a lot from him about what's legal, what's not legal, and then sort of how difficult it is to have the amount of people you need to be able to do this successfully in a way that matches what Democrats are doing. So go to undividedpod.com, undividedpod.com to sign up and join us for that interview. We do in-depth interviews on interesting topics every Sunday on the show just for subscribers. And it's also interesting where he says there, he mentioned, well, we have some ethics, and that's why we wouldn't post up outside a homeless shelter and harvest ballots. But we got into the reality that when you're dealing with a political party that is doing those things in the Democratic Party and is going out and trying to, register homeless people to vote and get their ballots in and all of these things, you can either do it because it's legal and match their efforts, or you can say, oh, we have more ethics than that, and you can lose elections. So we talk about, what is the line there? I mean, to me, anything that's legal is fair game. Even if it doesn't make you feel great at the state of things right now, even if you're a little bit like that doesn't, I don't like going out and registering homeless people, it's legal. So go do it, And so they need an army of people to go out and help them with these efforts. And so it's an interesting conversation about what they're doing, what they're not doing, what they're going to try to start doing, and the impact that that could have on elections in Washington State and elsewhere. And then, of course, we talk about what happened with Nithya Raman in LA. So I learned a lot from our conversation. All right, coming up next, King County's failed Regional Homelessness Authority is going to live to see another day. It should should be closed for good, but of course, this is Washington State after all. First, if you are concerned about what's happening in the Middle East, around oil prices, etc., you know, your money manager should be concerned about it as well. There's definitely a lot of uncertainty going on, and there's a lot of investors that are focused on AI, crypto, and tech, and that's certainly appropriate as well, but the real story right now is energy. So you want to make sure your current advisor is not underestimating energy's impact on your portfolio. Energy affects everything: inflation, transportation, manufacturing, global markets. It touches just about every single aspect of the economy. So if you're concerned about how energy is impacting your retirement, get a second opinion with our friend Zach Abraham at Bulwark Capital. We just put out a new episode of Swamp Watch with Zach this morning, by the way. In that second opinion, Zach will explain how every market is driven by energy, the impact energy has on inflation, how that could affect your retirement planning. Plus, as always, he and his team will do a full reveal of how Bulwark is focused on risk management, always looking for opportunities to lower risk, lower cost, and give your retirement as much upside as possible. So schedule your free Know Your Risk portfolio review at knowyourriskpodcast.com, knowyourriskpodcast.com. And you can check out our latest episode of Swamp Watch. And with that, let's get to our segment. See how I was testing you? Unbelievable. Set up to fail, she says. No. Boop. This is unbelievable. That's why it's in the segment, unbelievable. So way back, you know, when they first launched the King County Regional Homelessness Authority, this was promised as the end-all be-all. Oh, we're going to address homelessness on a regional scale, as opposed to every city and every county going it on their own. And it makes sense, okay? The idea that, you know, homelessness doesn't stop at the border of a city or the border of a county. We have this huge problem across Western Washington. Maybe we all sort of figure out the best plan together. That makes sense for a functioning government. That makes sense if the people in charge of it are competent, if they're responsible for the funds, if they're actually responsible for showing that they're having some sort of positive impact with the billions of dollars that they're being given to fix the issue. But of course, this isn't the private sector, it's the public sector. And so the King County Regional Homelessness Authority was a failure from day one. And it pissed away billions of dollars. And what happened? The homeless crisis got worse. Why? Because these people got an awful lot of money, a bunch of people with six-figure paychecks, mid-six-figure paychecks, a bunch of nonprofits, quote-unquote, that lined their pockets based on there continuing to be a homeless crisis. And if you took the homeless crisis away, it took their money away. And these are not ethical people. So that's why it was a failure from the onset. So there have been some growing calls, even from the left, that it's time to just do away with the King County Regional Homelessness Authority because there was this audit that found like $13 million in missing funds. And so even, you know, a fairly liberal member of the King County Council, a couple members of the Seattle City Council said, look, they had their chance. It didn't work. They're wasting money. So let's just do away with it. But what do you think the solution is? No, they're not going to do away with it again. It's their friends, it's their cronies and allies that are getting big fat paydays off of it. So you can imagine the amount of pressure that Girmay Zahalai, the King County executive, and Seattle's mayor are under to keep it going and keep that gravy train running. So their big, bright solution, they're going to embed an independent financial analyst into the King County Regional Homelessness Authority. They're going to do something that should have been done from the very beginning, which is make sure somebody's watching the money. Make sure somebody's accounting for the money. Make sure somebody is saying, oh, you said with this money you were going to do this. Did you actually do it? So few years too late, but also I don't think it's going to be sufficient. Here's what Girmay Zahalai, again, the King County executive, had to say about it. He said, our assessment of KCRHA's plan found inadequate corrective steps and a lack of clear timelines and deliverables for how the agency will strengthen its financial controls and reporting systems. Protecting taxpayer dollars and maintaining stable services for people experiencing homelessness are my top priorities. I can't even read that sentence with a straight face. Girmay Zahalai is saying that protecting taxpayer dollars is one of his top priorities. Okay. He said, it's clear that the agency needs to take more action to stabilize and course correct in the short term. To support KCRHA and hold them accountable to make these changes, King County and the City of Seattle will embed an independent financial analyst in the agency starting this month. This analyst will provide more transparency into financial practices, improve payment processes, and ensure corrective actions are being implemented with urgency. We will maintain strong collaboration with the mayor's office, blah, blah, blah. Here's what Katie Wilson had to say about it. You know, a lot of it is sort of the same. She said, my top priority is ensuring that the most vulnerable members of our community receive the shelter, housing, and services they deserve. It is particularly essential that KCRHA has the support it needs to support a strong continuum of care application and disbursement of federal grant funding. And then she basically says the same things that Girmay Zahalai said. Again, let's just really quick make sure that we're all clear on a couple things. Neither of them are capable of fixing the homeless crisis. Why? Because you can't fix a problem you refuse to properly identify. Both of them continue to claim, and it's just a lie, that this is a housing issue. And so the fundamental base that they would need for the King County Regional Homeless Authority to be successful in its mission is the truth, and that base is not there. So until that base is there, it doesn't matter if you have 100 financial analysts in the King County Regional Homeless Authority. And it doesn't matter for that matter if the King County Regional Homelessness Authority had no red flags in its audits whatsoever. It wouldn't matter because they're spending the money on the wrong things. So you're not going to get to an outcome that is, I mean, they said when the KCRHA started that you'd get to like a net, like a zero homeless in downtown Seattle within a couple years. I mean, just outrageous. So, you know, a new auditor is good, someone independent to look at the financials, fine, but the agency shouldn't exist in the first place. Our homeless crisis really at this point shouldn't exist if you were actually solving the issue, which is substance abuse and mental illness. And if you were directing the necessary resources to that. And instead, what are they doing? I mean, they're trying to pop up, you know, tiny home villages. And they can't even do that. They even fail at a failed approach. They can't even if they think it's a housing issue, they're still failing in providing enough housing. So Katie Wilson, of course, she made this goal at the beginning of the year. She said that she wanted 1,000 new shelter beds for all of 2026, with 500 of those by the World Cup. Here's what she said in April.
We can't just keep moving people from place to place and calling that progress. I'm committed to opening 1,000 new units of shelter and emergency housing this year.
And where are we at? Not that, and certainly not the 500 that she promised before the World Cup, which is like right now. So she said she's committed to it. Well, I guess she still has the rest of the year to reach the 1,000. So maybe she'll really shock us. But the goal of 500 before the World Cup, which again, the timeline, the deadline has come, 75 of 500. And they're just like these little pallet, tiny home things, which we already know what happens in them. People just go in there and do drugs. It's on video from We Heart Seattle and Andrea Suarez. They just go in there and trash them in a matter of days and sit in there and live in filth and squalor, and you haven't bettered their circumstances at all. Although it looks like they have air conditioning, which is more than I got in my house. So, I mean, hell, so put me in one of those when it gets hot in the summer. Last week, Hannah Kim at Fox 13, she did that in-depth interview with Seattle Mayor Katie Wilson, and she asked her about clearly failing to meet her goal.
You did promise 500 shelter, you know, emergency shelter units by FIFA, before FIFA came into it, you know, comes here. That number is not going to be met, it sounds like, but you want 1,000 units by the end of the year. How confident are you that you are going to deliver the 1,000 that you have promised?
Yeah, so on the campaign last year, I talked about 4,000 units over 4 years. And the point of putting out a big number like that was really to talk about the scale of the need, right? To
wait
say,
a
like,
second.
This is how many people are sleeping unsheltered on our streets. And so we need to be talking at this scale if we are serious about ending unsheltered homelessness in our community, right? And so when I stepped into office, we kind of thought like, okay, 4,000 units in 4 years, that means that we should probably aim for 1,000 units in my first year and let's say 500 in the first half of the year, right? And so the point of establishing those goals was really to light a fire under both internally at the city and then all of our partners who are going to need to work with us to to try to achieve this. No, we're not gonna make 500 by FIFA, right?
What about the 1,000 by the end of the year?
Yeah, I mean, so we're wow. still working toward it.
Oh my goodness! So, what a failure. So, I was doing that like to make us feel good. I was doing that to light a fire under people, not because I actually believed it was achievable. Oh yeah, we need to think big. It's like Jay Inslee with his climate goals. Let's set some goal for carbon emissions that is literally impossible to achieve. Let's pass a bunch of new regulations and taxes that will make life miserable for working class people in the meantime and jack up the cost of gasoline, jack up the cost of energy. And we'll never be able to reach this goal, but it'll make me feel good in my final year as governor while I'm running a failed presidential bid to say that I set this impossible to achieve goal. Same thing she's doing. Well, I just set that goal because we need to think big. So that tells me that anything she promises or any goal she sets isn't, she doesn't even believe it herself. She doesn't even believe that it's possible. But, you know, I criticize that and say all of that even though I know that she could build 1,000 shelter beds and it wouldn't make a difference. She could build, hell, you could build 100,000 shelter beds in Seattle. Wouldn't make a difference. Wouldn't fix the problem. Wouldn't help get people off drugs, wouldn't help the mentally ill, wouldn't help the city one damn bit. So whether you build 70 or 70 million, I'm going to have the same criticism for the mayor, and that's that she's not going to actually be able to solve the problem. All right, coming up next, we'll talk a little bit about what's happening nationally. The Maine primary day is here, thank God, because I got to say I'm so sick of hearing about Graham Plattner, although it is just the primary, so I guess we'll have to hear about him for another like 5 months. But we'll discuss some of the ins and outs of that case. First, if you are if you are a small to mid-sized landlord in the state of Washington, consider becoming a member of the Rental Housing Association of Washington. It's about $260 a year. They can help you on an individual basis with screening and forms for tenants. And then, of course, you know, the rules around landlord-tenant relationships are constantly changing at a local, county, and state levels. They can keep you up to date on all of that, help you navigate the absolute S show that has become. And then they are leading some really important legal battles when it comes to personal property rights. Private property rights, rather. And so they're doing that all year long. They're talking to elected leaders, trying to get them back to sanity on housing policy. So it's just a good organization to be a part of. Wonderful sponsors of our show for a couple years now. RHAWA.org. RHAWA.org. All right. Save America Act. Does it have new life? I will tell you. There's a couple things happening nationally. Like we can do some hand-wringing around the results of the California election, what happens in Washington state. As I said on Sunday, we're going to do an in-depth interview on ballot harvesting. But there's some things happening at the national level that could really render all of these debates sort of moot, because if there's changes at the national level, then it would impact us. For instance, SCOTUS, I would expect any day, SCOTUS is going to decide on the case having to do with late ballot counting. And I think that SCOTUS is poised to say you can't count any votes after Election Day, which would totally overhaul Washington State's election system. Now, SCOTUS could rule, but if SCOTUS does, I mean, I don't know, there's no recourse, right, for the state of Washington, because that's SCOTUS. There's no higher court that you can go to. And so Washington State would have to completely upend its election system, or else, you know, I mean, I think they'll probably just send ballots out early, which would still have a pretty significant impact. And then, of course, there's the efforts from the Trump administration to require national voter ID. It's the Save America Act. So the Save America Act is from Fox News. Trump's Save America Act shows signs of life in the Senate despite a Republican revolt. So this drama has been going on for, Lord have mercy, months and months and months. And President Trump did say, by the way, that he would do nothing until the Senate passed the Save America Act, which he kind of had to renege on that because, you know, they haven't been able to pass it for a long time. But they had like a votorama in the Senate that was meant to advance the GOP's massive immigration enforcement package. So it was like $70 billion. And then Republicans were trying to slip in other things attached to the immigration funding bill. Like they were trying to slip in something to protect girls' sports. They were trying to, has nothing to do with immigration funding, but something to protect girls' sports. They were also trying to slip in the Save America Act. And they failed both times because there were some Republicans who joined with Democrats in stopping that effort. However, there are Republicans who were previously against the Save America Act who have come along. So they got 50 votes. Susan Collins, who her primary election is today, she has flipped her vote to support the original version of the Save America Act. And so that means 50 votes. So today, as of today, Republicans in the Senate have 50 votes to be able to pass the original version of the Save America Act. That's something they didn't have before. And guess who's the tie-breaking vote? Now, the filibuster issue still exists, but assuming they could get past a filibuster, the tie-breaking vote would be J.D. Vance. So certainly, Lee, who's leading this charge over on the Senate side, Senator Mike Lee, he celebrated this yesterday. He thinks that they might be able to get this thing across the finish line. That would have an absolutely massive impact on American elections and in blue states. In the meantime, Susan Collins versus Graham Plattner. Here's what really blows my mind about this. So we've been watching Democrats back this Plattner guy, who, of course, had the Nazi tattoo and has all this baggage with past girlfriends where he's, you know, been very physically aggressive towards them. I don't want to necessarily say abusive, but, you know, he's been like accused of a variety of things, just trying to, you know, keep them in a certain place. Like, I don't know if you call it, what do you call that? Is it physical abuse or like, you know, like not letting them leave, not letting them move freely, just, you know, joked about maybe raping and home intruders, but not in the gay kind of way. The guy's a lunatic, right? But it's been fascinating to watch Democrats vilify Susan Collins, who is about the most independent-minded Republican in the Senate right now. I mean, she's not a fan of Donald Trump. She has gone against Donald Trump on a variety of things. As I said, she just now came around on the Save America Act, the original version of it. And that just shows that it doesn't really matter to Democrats whether someone's a MAGA Republican or a quote-unquote rhino. It doesn't matter. They're looking, it's warm bodies. This is what I hate about the political parties and the system in America. It's warm bodies. They just need a warm body that they can count on for a reliable vote. So if it means ousting someone like Susan Collins, who has taken their side on a number of issues, but has also taken her own party's side on more, it doesn't matter to them. I mean, Chuck Schumer had that just insufferable line that we talked about on the show. I think we played it for Sanity Check last week, where he's like, we're going to beat Susan Collins and we're going to take back the Senate. He keeps being asked about Graham Plattner. Oh, do you have anything to say about Graham Plattner and the accusations? We're going to beat Susan Collins and we're going to take back the Senate. They will go after and vilify the most moderate Republican in the Senate if it means just taking back the Senate. And Republicans would do the same thing, by the way. I mean, if Republicans had a chance to oust John Fetterman, because that's the seat they needed to be able to take back control of the Senate, even though John Fetterman has become one of the most sane members of the Senate, they would do it in a second. If they saw that a D seat, even if John Fetterman was sitting in it, was vulnerable, and they could put a Republican against him and oust John Fetterman, it doesn't matter if it's John Fetterman or if it's the looniest of the leftists in the Senate. And that's just outrageous to me. I mean, I the political system is so, so broken. I just don't know how we fix it from here. All right, but we'll see what happens. All the polls have Graham Plattner way up in Maine. Oh, I know. All the polls have Graham way up. And it's interesting because all like the Fox News reporting, it's all about anti-Graham, 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 but not like pro-Susan Collins. You don't see any of that. So even Republicans are like, let's just attack Graham, but let's not say nice things about Susan Collins. So we'll see if that strategy pays off. All right, in our daily subscriber show poll, I know this is sort of a random one, but I was thinking about it today. So I thought I'd ask you about it. I asked subscribers on Patreon, Locals, and X, does a political candidate's physical appearance matter to you when voting? Nicole, Daryl's here today, so if they're nodding, yes, yes. I don't know if you're joking or not. Nicole, yes or no?
I mean, yes. I think it bothers me that Katie Wilson doesn't know how to dress because she looks, it's not professional. It's embarrassing to represent our city like that. But Bob Ferguson, I don't know. He just usually wears pretty modest.
Wears a lot of call these that you put around your waist?
A fanny pack?
He'll wear a fanny pack on like doing like casual stuff. I'm like, a fanny pack, Bob.
Yeah, no, I don't approve. Belt bags, those are in, but not
is a belt pack. Isn't a belt bag just a fanny pack, but called by a different name,
worn yes. differently?
Okay, got it.
You wear it cool.
So you but yeah, say so no?
I would say yes. I mean, if you can take care of yourself, that means you can maybe act professional in other places too. I think that was one of our problems with Fetterman, was that he didn't look like a professional,
and I still don't like that, by the way.
Yeah, like a person that should be in that job. So I do think that it matters. It matters all the time. It matters when you travel. I don't think everybody should be wearing pajamas. I'm cool with yoga pants. Be casual.
Yeah.
But you don't have to look like a scrub
right.
when you travel either.
Substance first. I'm about to say something that people are going to just be so mad about. But mm-hmm. So obviously substance first. So if the candidates are night and day, if the candidate that I agree with happens to be a disheveled, disgusting mess, and the other candidate's cuckoo for cocoa, clearly it doesn't matter clearly. To me, right? But if I've got two candidates that are... Mm-hmm. You know, I like both of them, and one of them's just better to look at. I'm going to be honest. Yeah, I'm going to vote for the more attractive one.
Well, again, I hope I think part of you is considering that person might be better about getting this message across, because everybody is attracted to attractiveness.
Yes. Now, before I read your responses, obesity might be if they are like J.B. Pritzker in Illinois.
Sure.
I'm sorry, but like, dude, if you can't put the fork down, you shouldn't be able to run a state.
Like, well, Chris Christie, mean? I would say from like Chris the Christie. Other side, right? Yeah, that was, it, I don't know, because I think that when he, there was a time when I thought Chris Christie might be able to win. So I don't know, because I think differently about male versus female in that. Not me personally.
Yes.
I'm kind of with you on that. Like, you know,
I'm talking about like
ways to control
obesity.
Things, right? Yes. But I do think that people look at large men differently than large women.
Oh,
are 100%. There any large women out there like JB?
No, JD. Yeah, I mean, not JD.
JB.
JD's actually slimmed down a little bit. And look, I struggled
good.
With my weight, as you know.
We all
but,
do.
Yes.
But yes, I think that JB.
I'm going to get eviscerated in the comments for that. But I'm sorry, if you are like morbidly obese, that is a compulsion, unless there's some serious medical issue. I'm talking morbid obesity, Nicole. Like,
well,
my
I just
600
think that
pound life.
Like you said, you know, as somebody that always struggles with it, I mean, it is a thing that is hard to get a handle on. So I have sympathy for people that can't. However, if that is your career goal and it's going to involve being very public with you, like that's part of making it happen, I guess, in your career.
70% of you say no, physical appearance doesn't matter. Michelle says no, unless the physical appearance includes having a Nazi tattoo. Yes, but he covered it up.
But he didn't know.
His girlfriend knew, but he didn't know. Cheryl said, I said no, but they should be well groomed. Nicole from Enumclaw says, yes, no crazy eyes. They all got crazy eyes. It is funny how you can really tell. Kayla said, not really, but how bad are we? Okay. This sounds like something I would write. Not really, but how bad are we?
Can't even get it out.
Sorry. Okay. She says, not really, but how bad are we talking about here? she said,
exactly.
Also, too groomed isn't good. I'm pretty sure Gavin Newsom may be a little... I'm sorry. She said, also, too groomed isn't good. I'm pretty sure Gavin Newsom may be a lizard person since his hair doesn't move. Yeah, he's like overly groomed, right?
Yeah,
lots way of gel. Too.
Yeah. You all right over there?
Because that's something I would say. Love America says, normally looks shouldn't matter. However, if someone has something like a Nazi tattoo visible on their face or arm,
that's
it
a
would
choice.
Matter. Yeah, that's
See,
a
that's
choice.
A choice. And it's like, Katie Wilson, you have people around you that can tell you that a nice dress shirt doesn't go with a ball cap.
She
like,
did start wearing her hair down and stuff, but women are way more criticized and scrutinized for their appearance than anyone
did,
else.
But she's not putting any product in it. She's not running a curling iron through it. Like, give me a break.
You give me
flat iron it, anything. She's just brushing it straight, drying and go.
Here's my deal for Katie Wilson. You give me a sit-down interview. I'll give you like some tips and tricks. I was on TV for a long time. I'm obviously very good at hair, pretty good at makeup. So we'll do an hour-long interview, and then I'll do a 30-minute just sort of girl gab sesh.
Wow, I'd love if she took you up on that.
She can. It'd be great. I got to get off this and move on to something else because I'm like over here just crying about this. Are we horrible people? Maybe. All right. Summer means a laundry list of, I'm going to get an email from Valentine being like, why were you crying during our ad read today? Because I just love Valentine roofing so much. I love you so much. Summer means a laundry list of things to do, both inside, but also obviously outside your home. I wouldn't know, though, because if something's getting done outside the house, it usually would be Mike, because I don't like spideys, and I'm not going to go out there with the spiders and stuff. And that's why I'd rather have Mike hang out with me, because we never get to see each other. So our friends at Valentine Roofing can take care of all the stuff outside, cleaning the gutters, cleaning the roof, exterior cleaning of the home. So I would recommend getting on Valentine's schedule ASAP, because it really does start to fill up during the summer. And frankly, wouldn't you want all that done before it gets really nice out and you're having people over and enjoying your backyard? So call our friends at Valentine Roofing, 206-ROOFING, 206-ROOFING. They also, right now, let's say you need a new roof, they have great financing options. Homeowners can take advantage of $0 down, 0% financing with 6 months deferred interest when paid in full within the promotional period. Of course, financing is subject to approved credit. Call 206-ROOFING, 206-ROOFING. Schedule your free estimate today. And when you see that red Valentine van pull up, you know you're in good hands. All right. Get it together, Brandy. Get it together. Okay, comments from the live stream on the No Hate group getting a bunch of money. And that makes up virtually all of the money they've raised so far.
Of course.
ACLU of Washington, NEA, and the WEA.
Who else is going to give them money?
Right. Well, we're in Washington. There's a bunch of Cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs people.
Silliness.
Let's see. Country guy. Once upon a time, unions supported workers' rights. Now they're just left-wing political operators. I agree. Looking up for Jesus, who I met at a signature gathering event. Notice they never talk about scholarship and other opportunities girls lose to boys. So infuriating. Yes, and it's like ACLU. If you're really for civil liberties for all, you go to the ACLU website. Last I checked, their top issues are like transgender rights and all these left-wing things. You know, they've defended 2A rights before, but it's been a while and it was like a one-off. Mm-hmm. They used to really care about American civil liberties across the board. They don't anymore. They're just a shell for the Democratic Party. John Thomas, teachers are the problem. They either are a willing participant or complicit in their silence and the indoctrination of children into Marxist ideology. I don't think that's fair to apply to teachers across the board, because some of our best tips, who do you think they come from? Teachers. Right.
But they still won't say anything publicly. So I do struggle with that a lot because I appreciate all of our teachers that give us tips and share things with us so we can help get it out, because they're nervous about their positions and stuff. But that's the world that we're living in, is that these teachers are bullied into being silence. quiet and it's sad.
Yeah, I mean, we've had some teachers show up publicly to when we were hosting some events on boys and girls sports. I get it. But as long as, I think the best step is leave the teachers union and tell them in the email why you're leaving the teachers union. You got to do that today, because your money, really, you're okay with your money being used to keep boys and girls sports. If the answer is no, there's no reason to be in the teachers union.
And find ways to speak out.
I agree. Because there's so many
sane. Reaching out to us is found way.
So many sane teachers out there who just are bullied into silence.
They are.
All right. How can the Republican Party in Washington compete in ballot harvesting? Weisscastle says, I would rather eliminate mail-in ballots than ask Republicans to do more ballot harvesting. But look, you have to understand the reality of the state. It is going to be nearly impossible at this juncture to eliminate mail-in ballots. It might be a wish list item. But in the meantime, they're out there harvesting ballots. So if you just out of principle say, we're not going to spend time on that, you're going to keep losing.
Yep.
I mean, think of how many votes the Commissioner of Public Lands race. It was like, 50 votes or something? Ballot harvesting.
Yep.
And that would have been such an important position for what's happening with farmers and ranchers in our state. Tanya says, Rahman performed like crap in her own district. That's what makes this even less likely. And I'm seeing a lot of LA people commenting that their ballots haven't been counted yet.
A lot of return ballots for signatures.
Yeah. You know who else I met at a signature gathering event? Big Princess. I think he came before you were there. We had a signature gathering event in Snohomish.
Yeah.
Big Princess is like a 6'6" dude.
He's big.
He's a big princess. Isn't that funny? Apparently it was like a nickname thing, I guess. But he was very nice as well. Very nice. Old Sub Sailor on the King County Regional Homelessness Authority, $20 super chat. Okay, so who is watching the independent analyst? Any bets on political affiliation? I'm thinking bought and paid for. Yeah, who's choosing the independent analyst? What's their background? What's their experience? I want to know all of those things, because how independent are they truly? Right. But Big Princess, I mention him because he is Chuck gone? Chuck always sponsors our boop, but he's been gone, and so everybody's filling in to sponsor the boop on Unbelievable. So thank you, Big Princess.
I love the little community we have.
I know. Oh, it
Chuck's
is so great.
Gone, so Chuck's we'll gone. Do it for him.
Thanks. Angry Archer Outdoors, they are homeless storage units. That is literally what
it is.
That looks like. They look like storage units to put the homeless in until the World Cup is done.
So nobody has to look.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Country Guy says, my commitment is checks with handlers a bunch. Yeah. She's like, I'm going to commit to build a bunch of tiny
That's
houses.
That's how she did math. Like, this just shows her inexperience, right? Say, okay, I want to build 4,000 homeless shelters, because that's how many homeless people we have. So divide that by four. I'm going to do 1,000 a year. But really, I mean, the first year, you're getting all the permits, you're getting all of everything in line to do this, right? But like, just to throw out that number and say, well, I'm just going to divide that by the years, never mind what it takes to do it.
Well, and also,
so stupid.
You know, 500 by the World Cup. Like, it's one thing to say 1,000 in a whole year, but now by June, I mean, I guess in a theory that makes sense, because it's like, oh, half in the first half of the year, half in the second half of the year. But yeah, you're right. It's total inexperience.
Well, it should have just got like a big warehouse and put 500 bunk beds in there. That would have been more likely.
That would turn
scenario.
Into a drug murder rape den. I mean, that's just a horrible idea. And well, and I feel bad for
at least you're not hidden in a little shack.
Well, they're still hidden. The goal is just to hide them. But I feel bad for the rare instances of homeless people who have really decided, I'm going to change my life. And then they get put in these facilities with people who are just in there actively abusing drugs, haven't gotten any help. And it hurts those people who actually do want to turn their life around. It's such a bummer. On the Save America Act getting new life, Milkman says, make it a budget reconciliation bill. Pass it that way. Simple majority. I think that's what they were trying to do, but it hasn't been successful. So, all right, we'll get to our closing sanity check coming up next. First, if you are thinking about selling your home, reach out to our friend Wes Jones. Lawn Westover, an Undivided viewer, did. And he says that Wes had some great ideas for staging just to make the house stand out, considering there's an awful lot of listings on the market right now.
And they stage it in such a way that it's so inviting, super inviting. You're looking at the pictures going, huh, how come I never think about putting my out like that? You got to do some things that just spice the place up so people look at it and go, wow, this is something.
I don't know why I like it every time when he says, wow, wow. Because he's really sad. I mean, Wes and his team, they do a great job with their marketing. And right now, when there are more listings on the market, that effort to really make your home stand out and shine, like Wes says, or like Lon says, wow, make it look wow. It makes a big deal to get feet in the door, to get offers on the table. And that really is what Wes and his team specialize in. So sellwithwes.com, sellwithwes.com. It really just is a better way to sell your home. And with that, let's get to our closing sanity check. So the House Judiciary Committee had a hearing on what's happening with the Southern Poverty Law Center. Of course, there's these allegations that the federal government is attempting to prosecute, that basically there wasn't enough racism in America. So the Southern Poverty Law Center created racism by paying people to continue to be part of things like the KKK and do all these things and be sort of, you know, undercover informants in a sense, but was fueling the continuation of some of these organizations and what they were doing. So they were having the hearing. Congresswoman Pramila Jayapal of our state sits on the Judiciary Committee and, of course, can't actually talk about the issue at hand, had to bring it back to President Donald Trump.
This hearing is allegedly about SPLC, quote, spreading hate, which is even more ironic given that it's Donald Trump himself who has used extreme rhetoric and gone out of his way to stoke racism, fear, and xenophobia. He has denounced Mexican immigrants as rapists. He's railed against immigration from, quote, shithole countries, his words, not mine. He has enacted travel bans against dozens of countries, which a federal court just ruled unlawfully targeted people from 39 African, Asian, Latin American, and Middle Eastern countries. And he and Republicans have tried to end birthright citizenship and have given hundreds of billions of dollars to rogue ICE and CBP agents to kidnap and disappear immigrants of all immigration statuses, including, by the way, United States citizens. He's weaponizing the Department of Justice to go after the Southern Poverty Law Center because they have dared to call out that hate and extremism, including from people within the White House, like Stephen Miller and others within the administration.
Yeah, I was at a No Kings protest that she was also part of, where a guy said he would kill Stephen Miller if given the chance. I feel like that is also hateful. But here's my master idea. Let's every congressional hearing, cameras aren't allowed. I know I hate that because I'm all about transparency. It would fix this grandstanding issue immediately if the cameras weren't rolling. It really would, and maybe they could actually get some business done. That has been our closing sanity check. That has been today's episode of Undivided. Thank you for being here. Thank you so much for your commitment to giving common sense a comeback. Shop our merch store. We got some totes left, a little summer tote action. I use one for my dog stuff. I got one for grocery shopping, although I always forget it in my car. UndividedPod.com. UndividedPod.com. Become a member, a subscriber, also shop the merch store, etc. And you can watch all of our newest content there in one place. That's it. See you back here on the live show tomorrow at noon.